We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. And we are now into our fourth year of doing the Refresh Radio broadcast. We started the last week in October in 2013, and so we've been at this for 3 years now. And my voice is still going, and you're still listening. So we're very thankful for that. We do want to tell you about Jits Concrete. Maybe over the storm you had some damage that was done to your property, and you need some work to on your concrete or block work that would help address that situation. They can help you in that area. 536-5804, 536-5804. They can be a blessing to you. Give them a call. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast, and tell them that you appreciate the fact they've been helping make Brevard beautiful for several decades now. So tonight begins the Refresh Brevard 2016 conference at Merritt Assembly of God. Starts at 7 p.m. tonight. Our evangelist is Bob Fisher. He's going to be with us. We're going to be praising and worshiping the Lord. We're going to be hearing the word. We're going to be believing God for signs and wonders, and spending some time around the altar. We're believing we're going to come out of this week better than we came into this week. So if that can be a blessing to you, give us a holler. We will be more than glad. We got more than enough seats available. Wednesday night at 7, Friday night at 7, Saturday night at 7, and Sunday morning at 10:30. So those are our times that we are going to be meeting, and we're going to be believing that God is going to do great things. I want to take you back to Isaiah chapter 45 today. We're not going to read all of the verses that we did yesterday, but we're going to start in verse number 3. Isaiah 45, verse number 3 says, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord who call you by your name, am the God of Israel, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect. I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. So yesterday we had concluded with verse number 3 there, that God had called Cyrus, that he called him by name, and he wanted him to know that he was the God of Israel. And then in verse number 4, he says, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. The first thing that I want to share with you is that the work that God has for you and I to do, the purposes that he created, I preached a word here a couple of weeks ago about the purposes that we have in life, that they're, first of all, the most important purpose that we have is the spiritual purpose. What does God want to do in us for his kingdom's sake, his eternal kingdom's sake? What is it going to do to impact eternity? That there were also redemptive, there's a redemptive purpose, that God wants you to be a soul winner. He wants me to be a soul winner. He wants all of us to lead people to Jesus, not just families, but he wants us to lead many people to Jesus, that he also has a relational purpose, that he wants to change people's hearts and attitudes towards one another. It's manifest in changing the hearts of the fathers to the to where they have are favorably disposed to their children. And then he wants to transform the children's hearts so that they have a heart for the Father. So there is a relational aspect. There's also a preparational purpose that God has for you, and that is this. You are supposed to be getting ready for your appearing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is holy beyond description, and we're either going to exist in his presence or exist out of his presence for all of eternity. What kind of preparations are you making? A lot of people have the mindset that they are just going to wing it. They just, all they want to do is get into heaven by the skin of their teeth. And that is an Oklahoma expression. I don't know if it's used down here, but it was used when I was growing up, and so now it's used down here too. But you and I are supposed to be getting ready so that we will make the most extensive preparations that we can for our eternity with God. So we do good works, that we are storing up treasure in heaven. We are preparing ourselves. We make ourselves holy. We want to do as much as we can for the kingdom of God because we have a preparational purpose. We also have a transformational purpose, and that is we are supposed to bring light into our communities. If they are in darkness, they need to realize that they're in the shadow of death. We need to have a transformational impact. When you come into the room, the atmosphere ought to change. You should be bringing the fragrance of life with you. And then the last purpose is we have an emotional purpose, and that is we are supposed to lead people into the way of peace, not peace as the world gives that is dependent upon circumstances, but peace because you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He is the Prince of Peace, and he has bestowed upon you a peace that he wants you to share with others. If panic is your tendency, then you need to know Jesus. The week after the hurricane, I was preaching to our congregation, and I said, look, if this last week you were afraid of dying because you didn't know where you were going to spend eternity if something catastrophic happened and you did not survive that storm, then you need to get your heart right with Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm looking forward to dying. I want to go out in a blaze of glory. I want to be thriving in the ministry that God has equipped me for. But this ministry is not for me. This is not for my fame or my celebrity status. It's not for my ego or anything like that. This broadcast, this ministry that God has given to me, is for the benefit of other people. If I can sow a word into someone's life that is going to bring about a glorious change in their life, then that's the fulfillment that there is in it for me. As a pastor, I get more excited. Listen, I get excited when people give their heart to Jesus. I get more excited when the people of the congregation lead somebody to Jesus. Not just me, but when they get a hold of it and they discover the joy of leading souls into a spiritual vibrancy and an eternal life with Jesus Christ, that is exciting to me. So Cyrus is told, he said, look, I'm calling you by name. I am anointing you. I'm doing this for the sake of my people. You are going to be beneficial to my people. And so I want to ask you to, first of all, analyze your life and the ministry that you have, and is it beneficial to other people? You know, the world marketing has a saying that says this: if you build a better mousetrap, they'll buy it because people don't want mice. And if you are a servant, if your ministry is benefiting other people and helping them to grow and come to an awareness of God, then you don't need somebody else to pat you on the back. You are living a fulfilled life. You're living a fulfilled life. He says, I have named you though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. The second thing it says here, I will gird you though you have not known me. Do you realize that here in verse 4 and in verse number 5, God tells Cyrus in advance, he said, I'm doing two things even though you have not known me. First of all, I have named you. I have called you by name. And you don't even know that I exist. In verse number 5, he says, I'm going to gird you. I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to empower you even though you don't know me. Do you realize what a tremendous truth is revealed in that passage? It says that God is working for your good. He is working for your benefit. He is working behind the scenes even when you aren't aware of him. That means that if there's anybody listening to this program right now and you've got spouses, a spouse, let's put it that way. I was speaking multiple people having a spouse. If you've got a spouse that is out there that is not saved, please don't go away and say, well, Pastor Bob was advocating for polygamy on the Refresh Radio. No, I'm not. If you've got a spouse that is not saved, God's working behind the scenes to bring them to salvation. The Holy Spirit is working in their hearts, even though they don't know him, they don't know what's going on. God is working to set them up for salvation. If you've got kids, if you've got parents, if you've got siblings, and they don't know God, you just begin to pray. You begin to praise God and say, God, I want to thank you. They don't know you right now. They're not living for you. They have forgotten your word. They've forgotten your truths. They don't realize that you are working behind the scenes so that they can fulfill the purpose that you have for their life. That's just a tremendous, tremendous truth there. It says, I will gird you though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I'm the Lord and there is no other. He says, when I get done working in you, Cyrus, when I've called you by name, when I've girded you and equipped you for the purpose that you have, which is going to be discussed here in a little bit, he said, other people, my people, are going to know from where the sun rises to where it sets that I am God, that there is no other God like me. He said, I have sent them into captivity, but I'm going to bring them back from captivity, and they are going to do it not out of their own will and volition, but they are going to do it because you, Cyrus, are going to issue a royal decree that says, we're going to rebuild the city of God. Is there anybody who would join with us and say, God, issue the divine decree that invites all who will to partner with you in building the kingdom of God for your glory, that your name, Lord Jesus, would be known 24 hours a day, that the sun would never set without people knowing the goodness and the greatness of God and the wisdom with which he acts behind the scenes that men cannot comprehend. You see, too many people have the mindset that unless they know all the details and understand all the intricacies, that they are not going to get on board with the project. But today, I'm looking for a few early adopters, if you will, who are ready to embrace a new reality, that are willing to rally to the sound of the trumpet that says, God, wherever the need is, that's where I'm going to be. And we are going to build the kingdom of God. We are going to make Jesus famous once again, not as a byword, not as a cuss word, but we are going to make Jesus famous once again because of his divine intervention on behalf of his people. Verse number 8 says, rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who strives with his maker. And I've got just a great big asterisk there beside that. Woe to him who strives with his maker. You see, God has just expressed what his purpose is, that he is going to rain down righteousness, that salvation is going to come forth, that righteousness is going to come forth. That God says, I have created it. And then he says, woe to him who strives with his maker. I want to ask you today, are you contending for God or are you contending with God? Are you contending for the faith or are you just contending with faith? Because here, the word woe there, if I can put a Bob Arthur's take on that word, it basically means this. Sad is the person, or I feel sorry for the person who does the following. And so whenever you read in the scriptures the word woe, it is a lamentable condition. And it says that here in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 9, that it is a lamentable condition if we are striving or fighting with our maker. Is there anything that you are contending with God about? Where the summons has been issued, it's not because you don't know what to do that you are not doing it. You're just uncomfortable doing what God has called you to do. That is the point of the matter. I don't know if I've told this story on the radio here before, but I had a friend, I had two friends, and they got involved in wrestling, the wrestling team at school when we were in middle school. One of them ended up going on to be the captain of the wrestling team in high school, and that wrestling team in high school ended up having a future Olympic gold medalist in it. I mean, some phenomenal wrestlers come out of Oklahoma State, the University of Oklahoma. In fact, the Big 12 in general, there's some really, really good wrestling programs out there. And so now I've told you what ominous size I had. I was 5'7 and 135 pounds when I turned 16 years old. Just a monster. And so I never had any problem making weight for the wrestling team, but every wrestling match that I came into, everybody knew what the result coming out was, that my record was going to be unblemished. But not in a good way. I lost every match. And so when we came to the end of the year, they had a consolation tournament. It was a tournament expressly for people who had not won a match all year. Well, there was a guy who hadn't won a match, and the reason he hadn't won a match is because he had just started the wrestling team. And so they ended up pitting me against him, and I went, and this guy, they had the sound. We got engaged, and next thing I know, he's picking me up, twirling me around like WWF or WWE or whatever initial they're using this week, put me down on the mat, and bam, I was pinned, and that was all there was. It was just very quick and complete, and I realized that wrestling wasn't necessarily going to be in my future. Now, I want you to know that I had a change of attitude about wrestling after that. Not was that I wasn't going to do it, but if I was going to do it, I was going to do it to win. And that's what I did. I'm looking for a verse. There's a passage that says, to the faithful you show yourself faithful, to the pure you show yourself pure. This is NIV version. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless, but to the crooked, you show yourself shrewd. And that word shrewd there means that what God does is he's there standing in opposition to those who are walking in paths that they should not. It doesn't mean that God is striving with you because he doesn't like you. It doesn't mean that he's striving with you because he wants to destroy you. It means he's striving with you because he loves you and he doesn't want you to come to a disastrous, fatal end. He wants you to know that he is the Lord, your God, that he loves you, and he wants to set you in a place where you will be successful. So today, if God is fighting for you or fighting with you, you're striving with him, I want you to know that's not something to be proud about. The question today is not whether or not God is on your side, but whether or not you are on God's side. The scripture says that he loved us even when we were at enmity with him, or we were fighting towards him, we were hostile towards him. He still loves us. So, I just want you to know he's fighting because he loves you. He's fighting because he loves you. Don't strive with God. Don't fight against him because it is not going to work out well. When Joshua was preparing to go into the promised land and do battle, he encountered an angel. And I have such admiration for Joshua after this story because this angel is quite an intimidating figure. If you've got this figure, this image of a chubby-faced cherub, flapping around with little bitty wings, you've got a misunderstanding of what God's messengers really look like. You see, angels, the word angelos in the Greek, it means messenger. It is a messenger that comes from the throne of God, does his bidding, and then returns right back to the presence of God. And so this angel shows up, and almost everybody who encounters an angel falls to the ground in fear, and the angel comes to say, "Do not be afraid." They also say, "Don't worship me. You're not to be involved in angel worship." They are messengers. They are created beings that haven't sinned. They didn't need the redemption. So when we sing of the amazing grace of God, they only do it because they see the manifestation of grace in our life, not the personal encounter with grace the way that you and I have had. So this angel shows up, and Joshua, I've just got this image that he goes before him with knees shaking and says, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" And he said, Neither, but if captain of the army of the Lord of hosts have I come. The question is not, God, is God on your side? The question is, are you on God's side? Now, I encourage you, the sooner in life that you embrace God's plan for your life, the better your life is going to be. You are going to experience less misery, less heartache, less pain, less discouragement, less fear, less doubt. It's going to bless your life. So I want to encourage you today, don't fight with God. Don't fight with God. Verse number 11, we're going to close out with this thought today. Verse number 11, "Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and its Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, you command me." And so I want to encourage you today that you and I, we have permission right here in God's word to ask him to prepare us for the things that are coming. One thing is for sure, on November the 9th, we are going to have a new president-elect. It is going to be a new reality, one way or the other. God, what do you have to say? God, we want to ask of you things to come concerning your sons. What does this mean for your church? What does this mean for us as your children? What does this mean? What is the work that you are doing? I've heard it said that we spend most of our prayer time trying to ask God to bless the things that we are doing, when we would be much more successful asking God, what are you doing and how can I be involved? God, what are you doing and how can I be involved? Those are two really, really important ways to approach it. I don't want God to bless everything that my hand does unless it is something that God is for. I've made a habit of instilling into my kids, when, especially when God was forming in them their desires. And I told them, I said, you know, I have come to realize that in the end, I didn't really want everything that I wanted. That there were some desires that the greatest blessing that God gave to me was not answering that prayer in the affirmative. But when God has said, this is what I've called you to do, I want you to know that I have the faith and the tenacity of a lion that says, I'm not letting go of this thing. God, we will have this encounter because this is what your will is. And I want you to know, I will be with you to see that your purpose is accomplished. You see, I believe that God, when he called me to Merit Assembly of God, that God is in the business of building churches, not closing churches. He's in the business of building marriages, not destroying marriages. I want God to know that I'm not going to fight against his plan. I'm going to fight with him. I'm going to ask what his strategies are. You see, on the front lines, what you need to be is in communication with your commander. And God is my commander in chief. Where has he positioned you today? What is your post today? What is it that he is doing, that he is girding you, that he's equipping you to be successful? Don't fight against God's plan. If God has called you to give something, give it. If he's called you to serve in a certain capacity, serve that way. Serve in faith and say, God, I want you to help me to understand what you want me to do, and then I'm going to do it with all that you place within me. I'm going to serve in spirit and not in flesh. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.